everyone, and welcome back to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We've got a great show in store for you today. Today, we are not talking about a theater production or any particular artist, but instead, we are perusing or veering into the education front of the performing arts. And we've got a great, great guest on our show today. We've got the artistic director, acting coach, and director, Matthew Corazine. He is here to talk to us about his studio, Matthew Corazine Acting Studio and Theater, also known as MCS. And if you'd like more information about this, you can go ahead and head over to their Instagram, which is at MCS Theater. And that's theater spelled the proper way with the R-E. We're really excited to be bringing you not only Matthew himself, but this great studio. So let's not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and welcome on our guest. Matthew, welcome into Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you, Andrew. What a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy that we connected on the good old social media. We were able to make this happen. And I'm so interested to learn more about your acting studio, Matthew Corazine Acting Studio and Theater. Why don't we kick things off by having you tell our listeners a little bit about what the studio, what the school, if you will, is?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I started it 24 years ago. It's based in the Meisner technique, which we are really just big on, you know, breaking some patterns and programs that used to run the show that protected you in life. I also wrote a book called If You Survive Seventh Grade, You Can Be an Actor, because I always believe, thank you for laughing. Yes, I think it's really, when people laugh, I'm like, okay, they're my people. Because it's really true. By the time you hit seventh grade, the wall really gets built in life and we've had to protect ourselves or our winning formula of what we know works starts to happen. So as an acting coach, I created a studio that helps. I meet people where they're at and I help them get out of their own way and break down some of the walls that hide their vulnerability and connect them to some truthful instincts and impulses that live in them. So I recondition them to work correctly as an actor. And that's really what we do. And we've really took off and I'm so proud of what we have. And here we are 24 years later.
Wow, that is amazing. So you mentioned that you had written this book, this fabulous book, but besides that, what inspired you to create this studio?
You know, I think it was my own anxiety, depression, and shame. I really do. I think that inspired me was a way out of my own self. Just as a kid, I think I, like many people, I just split myself really young. I divided myself young. I wrote a story that there must be something wrong with me. And my brain, as it does, collected evidence to make that true. And then when I studied the Meisner work in a boutique New York acting studio, similar to what I do now, of course, doesn't exist anymore, in the Carnegie Hall studios when they used to have classes there, that was really transformational for me. And it completely changed my life as an actor, as an artist, as a human being, as a man. And I was like, I think I'm called to coach and teach. And it was so inspiring for me. And I just started with some of my students. I mean, so I started with some of my friends from college and, you know, people, I say the Wizard of Oz saved my life as a kid. And I think Wicked built my career because then one of my students booked the original cast of Wicked. And that original cast really rotated in my class and helped me build my studio. So that's really true. Wizard of Oz saved my life and Wicked built my acting studio.
I love hearing people like mention how Wicked had an impact in their life.
Yeah, I mean, Wicked is so important to me as an acting coach and a teacher.
Yeah, so awesome. You mentioned that you started this studio 24 years ago, which is so impressive.
Thank you.
What has it been like developing it and teaching over those 24 years?
I mean, of course, you know, COVID time was, you know, the huge interesting to reframe and establish a world of myself online. And then of course, my partner and I, we moved to Miami and I opened up MCS Miami. We had MCS DC running for a bit. So yeah, you know, I'll take risks. I'll try stuff. I'm still trying to get an LA class going. I have some former students who I train there and they want to run that. So, you know, I mean, you got to take risks. You want to be comfortable, but not too comfortable. And I'm always working on myself and that's what I bring to my students. And I think self-development is everything and your mindset. And listen, left to our own devices, you know, we're in trouble. So you got to be coached. You got to work on yourself. You know, I will change how I've taught in the years. That has shifted, of course, as the climate has shifted. And, you know, it's funny being an acting coach too, because you want it to be a safe environment, yet you're asking people to do some pretty unsafe things, you know, really bare their souls and their guts. And and you really want to create a place where that's okay for them to let go. So it's a tricky, Andrew, it's a tricky little place. And, you know, like, you don't want it to be too comfortable that no one grows. And if it's like too scary and crazy, no one will take your class. You know what I mean? So you got to like walk that line. And I like being kind of a little old school New York acting class. It has the little, you know, you get the jitters. You get the jitters in your belly, but you know that your coach has your back. And I certainly teach from a place of love. And I always want to grow. And I believe we're all the same.
Oh, I love that. And I actually want to snowball off of that last bit that you said, because I would love to know, what can people who sign up for your studio and want to take class with you expect from these classes?
Yeah, you know, it's an organic experience, but I think, you know, it's watching people have breakthroughs and some breakdowns. They tend to go together, and watching people pop. And what I mean by watching somebody pop is you really see somebody give up an old story or this thing that they thought about the character or acting or this moment, or I didn't think I could be a leading man and do that kind of, or it's amazing our own self-concept and our own judgments. And Andrew, watching people dismantle the conscious and the subconscious stories and beliefs and watching them change in the room, I'm an addict. So I've, you know, replaced some bad addictions with ones that actually, you know, create and move human beings forward on this planet. I'm addicted to human behavior. So I'm in it for the long haul. And that's why, for me, I love the Miser technique. And then I also developed that in my own way to reach a 2024 world of, yeah, just creating transformation in people and, you know, helping people see themselves and let them be seen. It is really remarkable, and really integrating, like I said, divided parts of us that we had to do to survive our childhood. You know, I really help integrate those parts that we thought are ugly, or no one wants to see that, or no one liked me when I was like that. And I'm like, that's the stuff writers write about, you know, those moments, those things, those feelings, and to get you to connect with yourself, I think is a beautiful journey. Even if you never go work professionally, you know, I have all types of humans in my class, from lawyers to politicians to people that just want to be more self-expressed to people going through life changes and they heard about my class. So I love all of that world. I think it's so important. It all informs it.
Yes. I love that. Yes.
And I do master classes. I'm trying to do them around the world, you know, really where I love getting non-actors. Mm-hmm. Creating some transformation. And what I really do is I get them out of their own story. I get them to live in the moment and really be present and tell some truths. And that really shifts things. And I do a lot of mindset and how the mind works and how it protects yes. us. And just to give them that language and some exercises where they can, you know, get out of their own way and free themselves and create some new possibilities. I mean, I think that's universal.
Yes, absolutely.
We all want that. We all want to connect to our meaning. You know, we all want that.
Yes.
That's why we go to theater, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you mentioned before we started, you've basically got two studios, one here in New York City yeah. and then one in Miami. So yeah. can you elaborate a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I teach a Monday night advanced class in Miami. We've been here for 3 years in Miami. And then one of my associates from New York, he also lives here. And I have another associate. And we run a beginners or an intro class. There's no formal training in Miami. There's a lot of actors. There's a lot of New York transplants. There's a lot of former New York actors that did, you know, universities or studios like mine. And now we're in Miami for whatever reason. I have people that also drive from Orlando to take my class because they wanted great technique, or they wanted Miser technique, or they read my book or heard of me. And so it's really taken off here. I mean, I'm so, so grateful. And then, yeah, I have my home studio, New York, where I teach three classes between Wednesday and Thursday. I do three classes plus some private coaching. And we also do theater rentals and we do productions. And yeah, I rent to other classes. We have a 45 seat black box right on 36th Street, right in the Garment District, which I'm so proud of. And we have a little film and TV room where you can rent out and do classes and, you know, put yourself on tape. And then we also have like a rehearsal space that I also share with a theater company that we also have. So we have like three spaces right on 36th Street. It's great. I'm so grateful, you know, so I love that I have both these worlds in my life, and they're so different yet so the same. And you know, people are people, humans are humans, artists are artists, no matter where you live. Yeah, so it's pretty incredible.
That is incredible. I love that. So as we're wrapping up our first part here, I'd love to know, is there a message or a thought you're hoping that listeners of this episode take away from our conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I think even, like our life is the conversations we have, right? You know, so the conversations, you know, what are your conversations really? Who are you in conversation with, right? Who are the people? That's why I loved your Instagram and your podcast. I'm like, I want to be in that conversation. Like, go talk to the people you want to be with and you vibe with and are doing the stuff that you want to be doing. And the conversation you're having with yourself in yourself, I think is really, really important, is to, you know, start to listen to those thoughts so you can start to shift them and change them and make them work for you rather than it working against you. So I think being aware of the conversation you're having, I think it's really important. And the language we use, all of it, it's all connected.
I love that. I love that idea. Absolutely. And that brings us to my final question for this first part, which is, who are you hoping have access to your studio and to your work?
Yeah, I mean, I think people that are hungry, I love hungry people. Like, I love people that, like, they want something more than where they're at. There's a little dissatisfaction going on somewhere, either they're conscious to or not. Or and maybe you've even kind of had it. Like, you're like, I tried this. Or like, I'm at a place where I just feel stopped. I think those are great. Or I'm about to give up, or I lost the joy in acting, or myself, or my journey. Yeah, I used to be so free and it was so great. And now life and or maybe some other classes and things or well-meaning people shut me down. So yeah, maybe I lost something that I didn't have, or do I even have something? Like, I love all of that.
For the second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brain, if you will. And yeah. I would love to know, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, I got to start with Arthur Miller, of course. I mean, that's just a given. I think August Wilson's work is, how he writes for the African-American experience is just, every decade is just incredible work. Yeah, I mean, Edward Albee is one of my favorite playwrights. Of course, Tony Kushner, Larry Kramer, Normal Heart is just, you know, my favorite play, and I got to star in it last December. We did it for World AIDS Day, and that's just so meaningful to me, that play. Oh, gosh, my favorite playwrights. Yeah, I mean, that's just endless. I mean, I loved Appropriate on Broadway that I just saw last season with Sarah Paulson. I forgot his name, but he won the title. I mean, that play was just like great. August Osage County, Tracy Letts. So that kind of world of Appropriate, of August Osage County, Edward Albee the Goat. I love Gruesome Playground Injuries. I love that play. I like these plays that are a little, you know, daring, slightly redemptive or not. The Shit Hits the Fan, Human Condition. Vulnerability, you gotta be in conflict. That's the stuff I love. That's the stuff I feel is in everybody somewhere, and some of us are called to act that out, which I think is incredible. Yeah, that world. And I love musical theater. I came from musical theater, and musical theater is my first love for sure. And I think it was, I wanted to hide and I wanted to play. I wanted to live in other lands. Like I said, I wanted to live in Oz, I wanted to live in Narnia, I wanted to live in the Goonies. I did not want to live in Westchester County where I grew up, or in my body or house or self. You know what I mean? I don't know. Just had such a disconnection to a lot of things. So fantasy was a place to live, you know, and then you got to be in a reality as an actor and be in truth and be in the moment and bring yourself to the work. I knew nothing of those things. Of the art, I just wanted to hide and be performative, and you know, shticky. You know, I came from that world of, you know, performance, bad performance habits. You know, I had them all. You know, so for me, I really needed training and to be the parts of Matt that never got to be, or never got praised, or never got, weren't allowed, or they weren't. I like Andrew, like we're either, things are either taught or it's caught. You know, as kids, you either, you're taught things or you caught some things of how to not to be or how to be. And yeah, having certain feelings and certain, on some level, I guess it was healthy, but like, I didn't know how to navigate my feelings. And I had a lot of feelings and I was really sensitive. And I thought there was something wrong with me, and dealing with my sexuality and being a Christian. And I had a lot of things in me that made me split and divide myself and hide myself and pretend I was fine. And I really grew up in that kind of world. And that's what was displayed for me. And then I denied a lot. I pushed a lot down, and we all know what happens there. And you got to deal with your stuff. And thank God I'm an artist and an actor, and I get to teach this. And I learned how to put it in my work, and that it was valuable, even if the world told me it was not valuable. So I believe in that. And I love that. I think that probably answered another question, but I don't know if it answered this one. But there you have it, Andrew. You're like, okay, great. And thanks, Matt.
I love that answer. Some wonderful names, some wonderful shows on that list. I love that. I would love to know. I mean, you mentioned, you know, you came from musical theater. Now you're a teacher, yeah, of that. You still act. What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
That's a great question. I mean, I think it's community, right? It's community and relationships, and that feeling like you're doing this thing together. And during that time or that rehearsal period or that class that you're in, like, these are the most important people in your life at this moment. And you're just so in the moment. And it is a little life or deathy. Like, everything is on the line when you gobble together this whole family for a period of time. And of course it doesn't last, and you kind of know that it will close, the show will close, and so will this friendship on most levels, right? And but then it kind of reunites or rekindles. And I think it's that family thing. I think it's that belonging thing. I think it's the community thing. But specifically, I mean, I've directed for many, many years, acted, of course, and coached. Maybe coaching is my favorite. Yeah, I think coaching is my favorite. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love acting. I mean, I'll act. Once you're an actor, you're always an actor. Andrew, you're still an actor, you know, you just, whether you choose to do it or not, we're still actors, you know? Yeah, I love, yeah. I mean, I have more control as a coach, you know, for career and also in the work of doing it. You know, acting, you have to really let go of control and go on the ride, and you don't have control a lot of your career. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, those are different tangents and umbrellas, but like, yeah. So I think coaching is more fulfilling in all the areas of my life. If I were to hit Google you, you know, like, yeah, I think coaching is my favorite.
I love that. That is a fantastic answer. So now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I mentioned I performed in the Normal Heart on World AIDS Day last December with some of my students, which was incredible to act with some of my students. So that was like, that is one of my great theater memories, that and doing that. And it was pretty high profile, and it was just really cool. Like, that was amazing. Gosh, that's so, I mean, I've had students star in Broadway shows and sit center stage and watch them and go backstage with them is such a gift. I'm reminded, I think my first, sometimes our firsts are the most in us, right? But like seeing, and I know Gypsy's coming back with Audra McDonald, but seeing Tyne Daly do it when I was in high school, it was 1989, I was a junior in high school, and watching her do Gypsy, I mean, that, like, I was like, this is like real acting. And she wasn't a great singer, and it was like fun. I didn't care. And I was like, I saw it like five times. In those days, you could sneak in for act two. We called it act two-ing it or something, like, yeah, second acting. Yeah, we'd second act those shows. I think before 9/11, you could do it up till then. And I don't think now you could do it. But yeah, I would second act Gypsy like all the time. Yeah, I like OD'd on Tyne Daly's Gypsy, which is great. It's just great. I mean, that was just for, I was a high school musical theater kid, and you know, it was like, we didn't have like bootlegs of, you know, there was no YouTube or anything, you know, like you just had to go see the real thing. And like, that you get the cast album and like you are obsessed with it if you're not into sports. You know what I mean? Like that just was your thing. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's a big memory for me. And that was a formative, the acting of that show, of course, in the music and everything. Yeah, that was just embedded in.
I love those. I love those. Thank you so much for sharing those. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Yeah, you know, I think there's always things brewing with my students where we want to co-produce with them and do stuff with them. Of course, it depends on getting the rights and stuff like that. So there's nothing that I can mention at this time. But right now we're focused on ongoing classes, which thank God we're often sold out, which I'm so grateful for. But right now, yeah, there's no productions happening. I wanted to do the Normal Heart again this fall, but the rights, because I think next year is the 40th anniversary. So I think the rights are not happening this year. That's okay. Yeah, what's supposed to be is supposed to be. But right now I'm focused on, you know, hey, being the best acting coach that I can be, working with the right people that I need to work with, and yeah, getting on other projects and working with other creatives like yourself and like other like-minded people that I want to collaborate with. Yeah, I want to collaborate and not necessarily create everything right now. You know what I mean? I'm going to work with other people that are, hey, I have this idea. Can you help me with this thing or help direct this? Or I want to be in that a little bit more. Yeah. And I just taught in Germany. So that was really cool. I just did 2 sold out masterclasses in Frankfurt. So I want to teach more internationally. I love that. Stuff like that.
That's incredible. Oh, well, then I can't wait to see where you're going next and what you do next. And it's a great lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about the Matthew Corzine Acting Studio and Theater, or MCS, or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Yeah, I think Instagram's the best. I'm matt.acting.coach, Instagram handle. And then, of course, the one you mentioned, at MCS Theater, spelled R-E, the correct way. Or our website, of course, matthewcorzinestudio.com.
Wonderful. Well, Matthew, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak with me and for sharing this incredible studio that you've got going. I hope this is the first of many conversations we get to have, because it sounds like you're doing amazing work all up and down the Eastern Seaboard, as well as around the globe. So this is so exciting. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Andrew. You're awesome. I love your excitement and your joy, and you have so a lot of love. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for that. My guest today has been an amazing artistic director, acting coach, and director, Matthew Corzine, who sat down to speak with us about his acting studio and theater, the Matthew Corzine Acting Studio and Theater, which is also known as MCS. You can get more information about this on Instagram at MCS Theater, and that's, of course, theater spelled the right way with the R-E. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But head on over to MCS Theater on Instagram. Get your information about this wonderful studio. Sign up for a class, whether you work in the theater or not. It will definitely benefit your life. So check it out. Again, it's the Matthew Corzine Acting Studio and Theater. And we want to remind our American listeners that Election Day is November 5th. Make sure you are registered to vote, have a plan to cast your ballot, and do your democratic duty. You can find out how and where you can register to vote by visiting vote.gov. The future demands that we fight for it now. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar, and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.